Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast for no more coverage of the Challenge 37, but a little bit more coverage of the Challenge All-Stars 2. We're not done just yet, but we've got a lot less to talk about. So if you're trying to, you know, speed through your podcast queue right now, then hopefully this is a shorter podcast for you than you're used to. But we still got some All-Stars going on, so we, of course, are still here to talk about it. Of course, I am Matt, alongside Brian Scally. Scally, what's going on?
I actually made a deal with Matt where I'm going to stay quiet, but, you know, I cannot commit to that. That's a false deal. So I am ready to talk about All-Stars 2. No more season 37, like you said, dead and gone. Good riddance. But no, I am only one episode of TV to talk about here this week.
Crazy. Genuinely, I feel like that challenge that Ayana got, I feel like that's something that I'm either I've gone through that myself because somebody else has given me that challenge, or I've given it to myself. Like, can I go a whole day without talking? And it's like, obviously, probably not, because I ended up finding a hobby in podcasting as I got older because I talk so much. But, you know, I don't know. I'm sure that I failed that challenge.
Yeah, cannot imagine. I can just remember times where it's like, I'm mad. I can't even hold grudges. I have a big problem. And so it's like, I'm mad. Like, I'm not going to talk. And then 30 minutes later, I'm just like back to normal. Nothing's right. Like, yeah, no, I can never. I can keep my mouth shut.
I saw a tweet. I don't know when it was, but it was basically saying that, like, everybody who got the comment in school, like on your report card, that was like, Matthew was a great student. If he could only stop talking so much in class, like everybody who got that comment is now a podcaster. Mm-hmm. Which, yep. tracks for me at least. So I mean, my when I was moving, you know, a couple years ago, I'm sure one or two people out there remember, but I had like a whole Twitter thread of like things that I was finding from my childhood. Mm-hmm. And it was all like my report card and literally all of that stuff that was like, if Matthew was like less, if he applied himself a little bit more and stopped chatting so much, like, okay, relax, Mrs. Whoever.
Great thread. Waiting for round two.
Well, I don't want to move again. I mean, I do at some point, but not right now. And I also got rid of a lot of that stuff. Okay. So how are you? How's everything going?
Things are good. You know, got to take a couple days off, end of the year, you know, relaxing while not having as many responsibilities, both in terms of, you know, getting to take off work, but also TV slowing down. So I have not been watching that much, and it's been nice, but I also was glad to have this like one episode as my like one commitment for a little while.
Cannot relate. I think I've watched like 30 shows since we last talked. And like 30 shows, like 10 episodes each. I'm going to pull up my list. Now that we don't have Challenge 37, we have more time to talk, you know, about ourselves. That's true. Because people want to hear that.
That's
okay,
why
so
here.
Here's my list of shows that I've watched since, let's just go like 3 weeks, the past like 3 weeks. Okay. Like when I finished Gossip Girl, I started The Sex Lives of College Girls, which was obviously great. I caught up on Floribama Shore. I watched those Elite Short Stories. I watched two seasons of Saved by the Bell. I caught up on Riverdale. The Gossip Girl reboot, the whole season there. Two seasons I've caught up on 911. Watched season two of Never Have I Ever. The entire Survivor South Africa. Today I finished Dollface. And now I've got a couple other shows that I'm working on. So I'm really just running through these.
I have watched zero of those. So yeah.
Real World Homecoming. That's what I'm currently watching that you have on your list at some point.
Real World Homecoming is on my list. I meant to say this last week, but if anyone is thinking of adding Netflix's 20-somethings on their list looking for a Real World analog, don't do it. It's so bad. So I will be seeking refuge in Real World Homecoming for sure.
So even though Jacob is a star on the show, we shouldn't watch.
No. Yeah, no. Like, even if Jacob was a sizable role, I would be like, sorry, wow. I can't do this. Wow. It is that bad. Like, where I could not watch it for my friend.
All right. I mean, I wouldn't watch it unless somebody told me to watch it. So if somebody's telling me not to watch it, like, that's easy for me to agree to. So no, thanks. I'm good. All right. Well, you let us know when you catch up on some more TV, and I'm sure everybody will be waiting to, I mean, I'm personally, I'm enjoying a lot of the Real World Homecoming. I mean, I caught up on the first season, and then now I'm watching this season, which I don't think is even done yet. I thought it was six episodes, but this week was six, and I think next week is seven. And both have been good. There's been a lot of drama and some not fun stuff. But like, I think the whole idea about the show is that like, they're talking about it all, right? So it's like, mm-hmm. We're having the conversation. So, I mean, I'm always interested in conversations in the way that they're, structuring that. So I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I've heard good things, especially about this second season. So I'm interested. I feel like that was like the appeal of All Stars. So why would that not be, just as enticing on the Real World seasons? Even though, while I was sneaking very, very early, this was still before my time, for sure.
I mean, it was both of these two seasons aired before I was born, so
Yeah.
there's that. All right, that's all I got for catch up. Should we talk about All Stars?
Oh, let's do it. We can always
Okay.
talk about more TV after.
Yeah, sure. Anything? Any finales this week of any other TV shows? What else was on?
Not
The
that I can think
Bachelorette finished. We can comment on the many episodes you watched of that this season.
of. Yeah, and I was like, you know what? In the off season, I'm gonna binge it, and then I'll watch the next season. And then they were like, it starts this week, and I was like, I'm not gonna watch that
I
either.
know. I'm
I
like,
can't do
ugh, really
that
didn't need it this fast, but that's The Bachelor. That's
either.
how they roll. Like, even The Challenge has given us like 3 months off. It's great. Or actually, we don't know that for sure. All Stars
Yeah.
3, but
Or Haley and Amy. I just cannot imagine.
I know. So, shout out to Bachelor Nation. All right, Challenge All Stars 2. I kind of feel like we need a reset here because we've been coming in to these episodes so focused on, 37, season 37, and then kind of, filling in some All Stars thoughts and takes. But we are now, this is episode 8 of what is probably going to end up being, 10 episodes. So two more to go, of season 2 of All Stars. And I mean, as far as you go, I feel like you've been saying you've been enjoying it so far.
I would say if people paid attention to our season rankings last week, where we ranked the seasons in the 30s, like I would slot this probably above All Stars 1, to be honest. And right around the like Final Reckoning, so top 3-4 area, I think that this is better than a lot of the modern seasons of the Challenge.
I have been enjoying it, but I can just, tell by the way that we both talk about the season that like you're enjoying it more than I am. Which is fine. I mean, I enjoyed 37 more than you did, so,
Exactly.
balancing ourselves out here. Yeah, I've been enjoying it because there's been people on this one that I was excited to see. There have been some surprises along the way. I mean, like having Tina back was great. I'm always happy to see Katie, as we talked about, even if it wasn't a great exit for her. And then just even like some of the guys that have gone home that, Derek C at all the way at the beginning, that emotional episode that we got for him, Ryan and Tyler, and just there's been a couple of people that have been fun to watch back. And then, all the people that are still left in the game. We've got some good competitors, some good names in here. It's just not giving me the I would say that I still do currently have season one ahead of season two.
Okay.
I don't know. It's not giving me exactly what I liked from the first season. Loved.
Interesting. I mean, I like still will agree the cast was better on season one, but I think season two, like, they know the game. They know what's up. They came here ready to play. Even people who were alternates for season one say, like, I think Casey specifically was like, I thought I was ready, and then I watched it and was like, oh, thank God I didn't get on, and that like I was on this season instead. Although obviously that didn't play out perfectly. She just was like, I knew what I was getting into. I prepared myself. I strategized, and I feel like that is showing, like in the game that's being played.
Right. Yeah. And like to an extent, I don't want to take away from the gameplay, but it's like the gameplay kind of just set itself up as far as the structure of the house right now. When we start this episode, we're going to get a breakdown of the house, which is not really hard to figure out. There's still the King's Palace on one side, which is technically like the three guys and Melinda is like the core of it. But when you add in Ayana and you add in Jasmine as the partners, we're looking at six of them and then six on the other side as well. So it just feels like, we have one alliance and then everybody else had to stick together. And it's kind of like, all right, well, we're obviously going at it. So it's always fun to have two different sides of a house or of a challenge house, whatever it is. It just, I don't know. I'm not seeing this as like, the most impressive gameplay or anything like that. I don't think you're
No,
saying that. I'm just,
not in the slightest.
I know,
Like,
I know. I'm just not as taken, I guess.
well, the thing is, like, if you look at early seasons of the Challenge, Big Brother, whatever, like, the more exciting seasons often weren't like the best gameplay in the world. It was just that everyone was actively trying, which I feel like people are on this season. There were a couple that maybe weren't so much, like Katie, and we lost them. So I
Right.
feel like everyone here like knows what they're here for. They want to win. They're actively trying to advance their game, and like two sides of the house is one more than we've had on a lot of the seasons of the Challenge proper recently, and that we really did even last All-Stars. It was just like, there's a center group, and everyone is trying to work their way into the middle, and it's not going to happen, probably. So I am happy about that, just that like people are willing to stand up and try to make moves to better their own game.
Yeah, and I again, I take that, but like for me, it, to a certain extent, two sides are great and all, but like I also enjoy the like insanity that plays out when it is one big alliance and we have to watch Tori like fumble her way through rooting for Devin or rooting for Emmanuel, and then the chaos that ensues from there, because when these people want to go in there and make friends with everybody and be best friends with each other for an entire season, you get down to the end and you have to make some decisions about who you're actually like better friends with or all this stuff. Like, it's just because we're so invested in these people after so many seasons. Like, that's where I like really enjoy, you know, watching things play out rather than just, oh, this person won, so this person's going in.
I would enjoy that more if there was not a clear structure of like, okay, well, these people have known each other for 7 seasons, so it's probably going to outrank the people that have known each other for 3 seasons, who's probably going to outrank the brand new rookies that they just met. Like, and so that's the thing. Like, yeah, I found that Tori scene, like, just to call that one out specifically, compelling, but that's a third of one episode of like 27 episodes that season. Whereas this one, obviously I would not say that, like most scenes are as like dramatic as that one on All Stars 2, but I find it more consistently interesting.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's really all I got. I don't want to keep being repetitive about, you know, my thoughts totally on fair. All that. But that's just – I figured it would be worthwhile to check in again, you know, to kind of reset where we are in All-Stars. It seems like after this week, we're going to have 1 week left of like a regular round and elimination, which is exactly what you would expect. And then probably the final in episode 10, hopefully, because otherwise we wouldn't see the final.
Well, I'm happy because I kind of thought this was going to be our last regular week. I thought we were going to get down to 5 teams, start the final, have 2, maybe even 3 weeks of the final. So I was glad to see that we are going to be cutting even more teams. I like that we will get to focus on a smaller number of teams in the final.
Yeah. So let's bring it to the top of this episode here. We're getting back to the house where the safety palace is all safe. All of them, of course, did not have to go into elimination because Casey and Kahuta went home. So they're all back in the room celebrating, having their usual safety palace, which, you know, they haven't changed any of their ways as far as the celebrating goes. But what's the point at this point? Because everybody already knows they're together. But the drama here where John A goes to just walk in the room and say hi, and she doesn't really get told to leave, but doesn't really get invited to stay.
She definitely gets told to leave.
Like, so I mean, like, I would have like the way, obviously, like, she wasn't like welcome there, but like, I don't know, I like the way that they were talking about it would have was if like they were like, John A, like, get the hell out of the room. She was just, they were like joking with her. I thought it, like, I didn't take it as seriously as it kind of was played out as.
I mean, I feel like things always get lost in translation. What I saw it was like, actually, this moment is for the people that like are aligned with us. We'll be glad to welcome you back in a couple minutes, but not right now. So I think she firmly was kicked out of the room, but not in as dramatic of a fashion as I'm sure the other alliance would like to make it seem.
Just awkward, like with Jasmine on one side of there and John A like on the other side. I mean, it's a good thing that those two are friends, because if this was like back in the day or anything like that, and this was the dynamic between them, if they were in two separate alliances, oh man, hell would freeze over between those two. But yeah, so she ends up telling Brad and Janelle about it, and you know, they're all like, it's like, what are we doing here? It's like, we know that they're on one side, you guys are on the other. This is where we get that graphic where it's very clearly laid out about who's on what side and whatever. So you kind of wish that this was like the ones that people make on Twitter, where there's like lines connecting across the way, so that we could have been kind of maybe reminded, or the casuals could have been reminded, Brad to Nehemiah and Jasmine to John A and whoever else out there. But yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, that would be nice, but they love not showing us the full alliance structure in the house. So I feel like even very important alliances were just completely ignored this week. So that is one of the weaker points of the challenge overall for me, but especially this season, where it's like, oh, Melinda and Janelle actually were super connected and no idea. No one knew. Never knew they had met before. So like, I think that ultimately they could do a better job there. But yeah, obviously the more information, the better.
Yeah. And to keep it on Janae for a second, we get a scene of her and MJ before the challenge itself, where Janae's kind of just further talking about her game. Well, both of them are really kind of talking about their games here up until this point. And just because I. Oh, should we call back to my forgetfulness from last week?
Well, I forgot about it already again. So, yes, please.
I had said earlier in the podcast last week, I was like, oh, there's a player on All Stars that has been reminding me of Cam, and with all the Cam and Leroy news last week. I was like, well, remember to say it at the end. Of course, forgot to say it at the end. Scally texted me saying we didn't say it. I was like, oh, I'm an idiot, but it's John A. It's not a one-to-one, but it's just John A is giving me these confessionals of like, she is very focused on the game, very much paying attention to the game. And I don't know. I just felt like a comparison that I wanted to roll with for now. So that's where I am. And she's continuing to just, you know, MJ's like, yeah, she's playing a great political game. It does seem like she's friends with everybody in the house. So as she tells us, the only thing she's been missing was a supportive partner, because we know that is very much true. And I guess MJ's that guy.
Yeah, the flashbacks to like reminding me that she was with Zach at some point. I was like, oh yes, this is quite the difference in approach that these two style. Yeah, so I like the scene. I like seeing MJ and John A like reconfirm they're solid, they're confident in each other. What I might have been questioning was John A saying like, I know I can beat Jody at a final, and I was like, oh really? So
is that what she said?
She said like that,
because my notes said that she knows she can't beat Jody, so I guess, okay. I misheard.
Maybe I misheard twice. Very possible. But it seemed like to me like, oh, we could throw her in, but I know I can. But maybe she said can't, which would make a lot more sense.
Or it's just possible that I know that what she should have said is can't beat Jody, so I just wrote that down.
Yeah, I mean, both are very possible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying she can't beat Jody, but just like, I can't imagine feeling, well, I don't know, maybe she is confident. I was gonna say, I can't imagine feeling confident just to you know, matter-of-factly say, oh, I can beat Jody. I mean, but I can't beat Jody, so Jody will beat me every time. So yeah, more on those two later, because they're going to win the challenge. But we do have a scene here also before we get to the challenge of Tech and Ayana, kind of letting us know to keep an eye on these two in this episode for a good reason. Tech just basically talking about how he's got to keep Ayana cool and, you know, making sure that she doesn't blow her top and he doesn't blow his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tech, who like usually you would think is the like big personality of the duo, has become the straight man in like this alliance. So he is in charge of making sure that Ayana is like running the course, just staying on straight and like not online. Mm-hmm. But it is an impossible task, as seen this episode.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a whole lot of fun for Tech, but I don't know. I want to hear these interviews when people get off the season to like know if there was more that we didn't see. I have to imagine so, because the way that like Jasmine later is going to talk about, you know, living with Ayana, I'm like, is it really that? I mean, I know that there's been, you know, a couple of tiffs here and there, and then go back to episode 2 with the Sophia Bananas of it all with Ayana. So, you know, there's been a lot to report on there, but I don't know, maybe there's more. So we'll see about that.
I also think that like the standard is probably a lot lower in terms of like the bar is lower in terms of who is the problem person of the house, where usually you have like Bananas and his minions like throwing shaving cream and feathers and whatever, sure, into people's beds nonstop, stealing toilet seats, whatever. And now like the guys on this season are like, are you okay? Can I emotionally support you any better? So like the line is very different, where Ayana gets mad like occasionally, and that is like the most difficult person in the house to live with.
So you're saying you miss Bananas?
I'm not saying that. Oh, okay. I'm saying
I
that,
thought that I heard that.
No, that is not what I said.
Okay. Well, do you want to start the GoFundMe for Tech, or should I? We'll see about that one. All right, challenge time. It is called Dive and Conquer, because we just cannot get enough of jumping into water this season. So this one is structured as a mini final, which I guess, you know, relatively understandable, as they're going to be running back and forth like a million times with this puzzle. It's just running a half mile to, what is it, a cenote? Is
that the cenote? Yeah, cenote? They've said it 700 times this season,
and I still have never heard of it before now. The cenote, and it just sounds like snot. Every time I like write it down, I'm like reading it as that's nothing. They have to go in the water, memorize, you know, the whole puzzle board, run back, and whoever does it the fastest wins. How exciting. So challenge time.
Mm-hmm. I always like these mini finals. I like seeing how the teams stack up, making sure that everyone can actually run it. Like, am I wasting my time really rooting for this team? But I, while the puzzle looked very difficult, I think it also made it extremely tough to follow on TV. So I thought that was a downside for sure. Yeah,
there's nothing you can do to play along at home. It's like you just have to hope that, you know, there's some chaos along the way, which there was, you know, to a certain extent. So but it's really not something that you can really keep an eye on, like who's doing well, who's not. You just have to, you know, go off of the emotion of the players as they're playing the game. We did get like a confessional from almost every team saying the exact same thing. We need to win today or we could be in danger.
Yeah, this is the most important challenge yet. Like, okay, sure, whatever. But,
okay,
you know, I thought it was, like, fine. I overall, like, enjoyed the challenge. The challenge editing style is the challenge editing style, and that's not going to change. So better than the ones where it is just, like, a team back to back to back to back 13 times in a row.
And did you like the way that they had to hold the rope between them while they were running together?
I mean, it was fine. Didn't really do much for me. I guess it made it more difficult. You know, I thought it was, at first I was confused. I was like, oh, they're unhooking and hooking back in. No, they're just running basically hand in hand through the forest.
I guess it's just a way to, you know, make it so like if Jasmine was having a hard time and she couldn't go, or she didn't want to go, like Letarian couldn't just go by himself to go check the water and come back while Jasmine works on the puzzle. Like they needed to be together. So I get that. But yeah, Jasmine was struggling there. She wasn't having the easiest time jumping in because, again, they've had to jump in the water like so many times this season and it keeps terrifying them, especially like people. Imagine Katie was still here. I mean, she wouldn't still be here by episode 8 of the season, but just like imagine she had to do all of these challenges jumping in. She would just quit at this point. Generally. Yeah, like,
just done. Consistently go in over and over and over.
Yeah, I mean, she would quit like she did. So... That's that we get. Ayana was yelling at Letarian for cheating, which was funny because, like Tech says, they are kind of on the same team.
Yeah, this would, like, if I'm Letarian, this would drive me up the wall, just absolutely mad. I could not handle, like, as a viewer, it's very funny seeing that Ayana, like, I don't know if she doesn't get or doesn't care that, like, you guys are on the same team. Like, what is helping you is helping him. Like, that's good. You want to actively be helping each other. Right. Maybe they were thinking they were fighting for last at that point, and that's where it actually got pulled. But I just, in general, thought it was very funny that Ayana was not willing to help her alliance mates there.
Yeah, she's just, you know, again, little bits throughout the episode, which are going to lead to, you know, what happens later on, her big moment there. But just reminding us of, you know, every step of the way that there's little things that make her such a great character here on the show. As far as Letarian goes on his team, he is starting to get annoyed with Jasmine because, like, her ankle hurts. She fell on it or whatever. So she's kind of injured at this point. And he gets this, like, very annoying confessional being like, you know, everyone's trying to get rid of the King's Palace. Like, did you forget that? Like, she's hurt.
This is just Letarian. Like, nothing is ever going to change for him. He is the same person through and through. I like him, but I would be incredibly frustrated having to work with him. Like, we just would vibe. I cannot imagine. He would hate me, and that's fine, but like it would not work out.
Scally, come on.
Yeah, no, it would not work out at all.
Yeah, same page here. So yeah, just a lot of chaos going on here, and then of course this is gonna ultimately lead to an MJ and John A win. The only other note that I had of significance was when Tech and Ayana's board was pretty all over the place and they were not doing great and TJ's like shaking his head at the camera. That was, you know, fun TJ moment.
It was pretty good. The only thing I noticed, like, this is the type of thing where I could see why John A might be a little more confident against Jody than we maybe like are in her against Jody.
Sure.
Where, first of all, obviously Jody messed up on the puzzle where she was like, I didn't even realize the horns were different colors. And it was like, I feel that's like kind of the entire puzzle. Yeah. Like, so I don't know how you overlooked that.
I have to imagine that was like strange editing where maybe that was like after the first time she went in, rather than like, you know, a half hour into the challenge, like it kind of made us believe. But I mean, maybe that's not the case. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely could believe it was strange editing. But I also did notice, like, they were first, and generally, like, as someone who is a strong enough swimmer, I would also probably not think to grab the
Humble
life jacket.
brag.
just not humble, even. No,
Right.
but no, I would have. But like, I agree. I also would probably not think to grab the life jacket on the first jump, but it seemed like they continued to not do so, at least through the editing, and trying to just tread water and memorize and like do all of this on top of it. Just like, you have your pride, but maybe sit on the life jacket for a little bit so that you can spend most of your energy thinking about trying to remember these signs.
Yeah, yeah, I take your point about, the Jody of it all there, but I don't know. I
And it's
just
a Brad thing too. Like, it's not just an exclusively Jody thing, but I just
Yeah.
think maybe that John A is looking at it from that perspective of like, I will outthink and outwork her.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is definitely a good challenge for her to, reaffirm that thought process of if she did say that, if that's what she said, which you're probably right, saying that, she thinks she can be Jody, then, you just won this little mini final where Jody came in fourth.
I who knows? Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. We'll have to rewatch a third time to
So,
confirm.
yeah. So John A and MJ win. They're talking about, do we stick with the alliance or get out a strong team before the final? We'll kind of weigh in on that decision in a bit when they get to the deliberation. But yeah, I mean, if this was the final here, MJ and John A are our winners, followed by Janelle and Darrell in second, Nehemiah and Melinda in third, Brad and Jody in very shockingly fourth, Tech and Ayana in fifth, and Jasmine Letarian in last, which obviously led them to be the elimination locks.
Yeah, it was a sad realization, like pretty much like halfway through the challenge, realizing like, yeah, we're gonna probably see Jasmine in there, aren't we? She'd been
Yeah.
escaping for a little while. I know that we were worried once her edit started getting a little bigger, that could spell bad things, and I feel like it's been creeping up on us.
Yes. Especially in this episode. It was like I haven't heard a single thing from Melinda or Nehemiah. So I wonder who's going home. The person talking about their kids, maybe. That's probably who. So yeah, she gets back to the house. Jasmine's like feeling bad about how she performed. She's like, all I have is heart. I really don't have a lot of the other qualities that it takes to be an all-star. So you hate to see her getting down on herself, but understandable that it's discouraging to get, last place 3 times in a row. Not great.
Yeah, it's hard. I don't blame her. Like, they're like, when you are against like Jody specifically,
Yeah.
I also would be getting down on myself. So, and like, you hurt yourself while you're going into elimination. It's just like a bad combination. So I get it, but the fingers were crossed for Jasmine here.
Yeah, unfortunately, now is not your time, as Rue would say. I have notes later on about a Rue Paul line. Where I don't honestly I don't remember
You'll
where
get
it
there.
was. So I hope I didn't like pass it. I mean, it
You can
really wasn't that
keyword search
exciting.
after.
That's true. I don't know if I wrote. I don't know. Whatever. I'll find it at some point. It was just maybe it was at the elimination. That somebody said something that I was like, it literally felt like RuPaul was saying this. Okay. Since I can't find it right now, let's talk about when MJ and John A are going to go down to their deliberation.
And okay. The way it's framed here is that they're really considering backstabbing the alliance and throwing in some strong teams. How much were you thinking this was a real possibility watching?
I don't know. I mean, it definitely was something that I was like sitting there thinking like, yeah, no, that would be a good idea. Like a lot of these teams are weaker or whatever. On maybe on the other side, Tech and Ayana and Jasmine and Letarian, but obviously Jasmine and Letarian aren't a team that you can keep into the final if they don't make it through this elimination. So I think that like every time I went back to that of like, if you throw the strong team in, they're gonna come back from this and they're just gonna be mad at you. So at this current vote here, I don't think it makes any sense. If it was like Nehemiah and Melinda had gone in, and you could guarantee that you were gonna lose strong players, like sorry, no offense to Jasmine, like she's not listening. You could guarantee that you were gonna lose someone strong, then maybe it's worth a shot. But just knowing that it was Jasmine and Letarian on the other side, it didn't feel realistic.
I was just surprised to see that it was specifically John A who was pushing for, like, at least who seemed more on board to be throwing in a strong team as it was presented, because it was Jasmine who would be going against them. So I didn't think that she was going to be throwing Jasmine to the wolves, basically, at this point in the game, where the show made it seem like it. They really didn't, like, even talk about Jonna and Jasmine's relationship all that much this episode. And I think that was an attempt to make us forget it too, so that we think that there was a better chance of throwing in one of the stronger teams here. But like, even if like Tech and Ayana, I would say, are similar on a similar level to Letarian and Jasmine in terms of overall team strength for eliminations and finals. And I would say that like, even with them, where you don't have the personal relationship, like, sure, maybe take the chance. But when it's specifically Jasmine, I was surprised to see that Jonna seemed like so gung-ho about throwing her against Jody.
Yeah, no, and you even see it like as they're actually making their decision, where Jonna was like, we could do, you know, maybe we don't want to lose this chance. And MJ's like, go ahead and do it. Mm-hmm. And then like immediately is like, no, don't actually do that. So like, you can just, you know, just hear it in their voices that they were not actually planning to make this move, at least in this moment. So
yeah, well, I mean, and like a lot of the other teams seem to have like very good relationships, if not like long established relationships with each other. Where I don't remember Jonna and MJ being particularly close through their challenge history, so you
can
throw...
they ever did a challenge before at all.
You don't have ever done one together?
No, I feel like MJ was done by the time Jonna started, and I could be wrong about that, but that's just how my memory is taking me at the moment.
I feel like they could have overlapped, but I honestly don't remember off the top of my head.
I mean, I can look.
Yeah, okay. Well, while I'm talking, I guess. But so what I was going to say is where I feel like Nehemiah and Melinda, or like even Brad and Jody could be like, or Darrell and Janelle, who have this relationship, could really throw all the options out on the table and be like, I'm really thinking about this. Where for MJ and Jonna, it's like, I'm thinking about this. Just kidding. I would never do that unless you're also down, maybe. Like, you are trying to feel them out while not having like them go rat them out to your partner. Not that it would be particularly beneficial, but just not having that established trust for years and years like these other teams, I don't think that they are going to speak as freely as they would otherwise.
So MJ was gone by season 17 and Jonna did not start until 21, which was, I believe, Rivals.
There we go.
So yeah, no overlap there, which, you know, I don't know, I guess they just met here and they're best friends. So I was kind of looking down and, not paying attention to what you said, but yes, I agree.
I would say basically every other team has a stronger connection, which would make them speak more openly about their feelings and make MJ and Jonna maybe more hesitant to, propose a big move, not knowing how their partner would respond to it.
Right. They ultimately, you know, land on these, teams that you would expect them to put up on the board. So when everybody walks over, there's no surprise here. Tech's got a nice robe going. So that's how he comes to find out his fate, and that's it. Nobody's shocked.
Do you think they should have made the move?
No. Just like I was saying, no. It's especially just knowing that they would probably come back, this team, you know, that they'd be throwing in. It's just not right now. I mean, maybe next week if they have the opportunity to again, for sure, you know, worthwhile with the final right around the corner, but it's not happening this week.
I just... like, the best case scenario, the worst case, here, let's go through best case scenario. Johnny's best friend goes home. like, the worst case scenario is, like, I guess Johnny's best friend goes home, which sucks. The best case, or no, sorry, best case scenario is Johnny's friend goes home. And then next week, if 3 out of 5 teams win, you're going into elimination against Darrell and Janelle, presumably. So that's not good. And the worst case scenario is your best friend goes home and you are fighting against like all 4 teams next week. So I just don't think it is really even a question in terms of what move they should be making. I agree that next week, especially if one of those two teams were to lose in Darrell and Janelle and Jody and Brad, I would think it is almost a must to throw them in against each other, but not knowing that the final was confirmed for this week, for sure, I would not have made the move.
Yeah, and I mean, they can be reasonable here to think that next week, just the weakest team on paper left is Tech and Ayana. So if they're still here next week, they presumably could be the team that goes into elimination automatically, which means there's only one other spot to fill. If the King's Palace side wins, meaning Nehemiah and Melinda win, they're probably going to take a bigger shot rather than throwing it at MJ and John A. You know, they're going to want to take down maybe somebody. I don't know, because the connection they have with Brad, maybe they take down, you know, or they try to go for Darrell and Chanel. You know, there's a possibility that they would be saved there. And then obviously if her side won, it would be Nehemiah and Melinda against Tech and Ayana. So it does seem overall no reason to make this move here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna go see the quickest party in the history of the challenge. As far as we viewers are concerned, the party began and it was over in about 3 seconds, because the point was not the party. The point was after the party that everybody went inside, but Ayana was still outside cleaning all night long.
Yep, Ayana just could not help herself, absolutely needed to clean. I get it, in terms of I would be the person who at the end of the week would be annoyed that, like, okay, like, really, we got to clean this up. But in the moment, I think Ayana is just overreacting maybe just a little bit here.
I mean, I'm this person at all times, but I'm not, I don't think I'm complaining about it. Do I usually? I don't think I complain about it.
No, I would not say you do.
No, I just, you know, I also want to enjoy my oasis of an Airbnb when, you know, I'm out with friends and everybody's making a mess, and it just makes me feel a lot better. And it is a lot cleaner of an environment when there's just garbage picked up and put away. Like, what's the big deal? But it's a pretty big deal here. So, cause we get it to, like, some, you know, tension here, because it's not just like, oh, you didn't clean. Jody comes outside and we're going to get this whole thing about, the Greek salad of it all. But Ayana starts throwing the word privileged around, saying that Jody is privileged. And, you know, she's like, I'm not your maid, so I don't know why you're thinking that I'm going to throw your garbage out and all this stuff. Jody goes back to report it to everybody that's in that room with her, Jasmine and John A., Brad, whoever else was in there. And it seems like everybody has just had enough of Ayana at this point.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this is complicated where, Ayana was like, kind of rude, and like obviously we find out like went above and beyond to just like annoy Jody, but like it wasn't that serious. She wasn't like calling her really horrible things. She was just like, oh, are you gonna help me clean or are you too privileged? And like, rude, annoying, but just like at the same time, Jody going in for, like, I'm thinking back to her like situations with Tina or something, mm-hmm. where she's not being like, I'm the victim, but is kind of like, I'm not gonna rise to it, and also like kind of almost looks teary-eyed at like all times. So it's just
people, she showed up teary-eyed that she had to play the game.
That is very accurate. So people are like immediately jumping on her side, like, privilege, what do they mean privilege? And I'm like, guys, it's not that serious, like, let's calm down. So that made me question, like, was there anything else to this that we didn't see, which got everyone, you know, so worked mm-hmm. up. But as to what we saw, I was like, this is way out of proportion.
I mean, my guess was that there was a lot more that we didn't see. I have a feeling if we get, you know, the Ayana deep dive postseason, I don't know, on Challenge Mania, on the Challenge podcast, anywhere, that she will explain more of her relationship with Jody and why, you know, maybe she used that word in particular, or why things came to this at this night. Mm-hmm. And as we're going to see later, why she ate that salad herself. But we currently don't have that whole story. And it really was just kind of leading up to us seeing Jasmine decide that she's going to go take care of it herself. And we get this big blow up between Jasmine and Ayana, where it was really kind of just Jasmine that was, you know, going after Ayana here to say, like, what, why are you saying this kind of stuff? Like, this isn't that big of a deal. All of this over a Greek mother effing salad. Obviously, you know, she was telling us how frustrated she was with her, and she was like, it was just big, like, this could be my last day, or my last, you know, day before my last day energy, and let me just go out here with a bang kind of thing.
Yep. Well, and so that's what was so funny, is like, shades of classic Jasmine come out, and like, I'm thrilled. Love Jasmine. Have missed her greatly, and love seeing all sides of her personality on this season. But when she's like, it's just a salad, it's like, exactly, it's just a salad. So why are all of you freaking out over this? So it's just like, when you're saying it's just a salad, like, Ayana was not actually seemingly mad about the salad. You guys are, so if anything, like, you are invalidating your own feelings in that moment.
Newer Challenge fans, in case you are just watching this season for the first time and or you don't know some of these players, their history, one of if not Jasmine's most infamous clip is Jasmine getting very worked up with an argument back in the day, and she punched a mirror directly with her fist. It shattered into a bunch of pieces, and she lived to tell the tale. So that's Jasmine at, you know, her peak of reality TV mess. Now she came back, you know, she's a mom, she wants to compete more, she wants to get to the final. So a bit of a different story this time, but exactly what you just said. I'm very happy that we got like classic Jasmine back here. It was fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, it doesn't seem like Jasmine, where like Tina was like, I'm in a bad space and like, I can't be here. Jasmine seemed fine. So like, I'm not worried about her feeling like the challenge is bringing up like a bad part of her life. Like, no, she seemed fine. So I feel better about enjoying it.
The way she like dropped her mom's full name, like social security number and everything, being like, unless you are this person, my mother, you will not tell me what to do, or whatever she was saying.
Yeah, definitely appreciated it.
Like, that's one way to shout out your mom. So, yeah, and that's going to lead us into the selection process of it all, where we have to find out which team is going to go against Jasmine and Letarian. We get down there. As you mentioned earlier, Ayana has this agreement with Tech where she's just not going to say anything. Tech was like, I gave her this whole daily challenge. If you sneeze, don't say achoo. If you fart, don't say this. Well, what did he say? Don't say excuse me. If someone else sneezes, don't say bless you. If someone else dies, don't say you're sorry to, you know, for their loss. Essentially.
Oh my god. What strict rules?
Did he say that? I think he said that.
I don't know what he did.
So Ayana's gonna stay quiet, and we're gonna get the voting here, where it's gonna end up being Nehemiah and Melinda that get the votes. The only team who does not vote for them is, I'm sorry, the only person is Brad, who votes for Tech and Ayana because of his Nehemiah friendship that he wants to try to, I guess, make up a little bit on. I don't know, any thoughts on that? Or
I mean, just like anytime there's these like throwaway votes, like, they mean nothing. It doesn't matter. I don't care.
You knew where the votes were going, so you know, what's the point?
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's not like Brad was campaigning like, please, can we not set? No, he was just like, okay, but I'm just not going to do it for appearance purposes. Okay, cool.
Right. But then the star of the show is going to reemerge here and make a big confessional. Jody, just so you know, I ate your salad. And I knew it was yours. I opened it up. No fork. I just ate it.
It's so funny. this is where I was like, any amount of money that Ayana needs for any season of the channel, put her on the main show. I'm ready. Like, she's so funny. This is, it's cracked. It's so wild. It is just like another level, but it is entertaining in a way that few challengers have been on either version of the challenge in quite some time. She's just like, full serious, like, she's not laughing. She's just like, and guess what? I would do it again. I ate your salad and it was delicious. I was like, okay. And just like goes into more and more detail and just like absolutely is just living for everything that is coming out of her own mouth.
Ayana has that thing that's like really fantastic for challengers who do her kind of, you know, being, you know, wanting to antagonize somebody else in like a subtle way, and you never want it to be to the point where like somebody's genuinely getting hurt or you know, something bad is happening to somebody from an Ayana perspective, like an Ashley, Amanda, like all these people that are, and we did see on season 37 where it got to that point with like an Ashley and it led to her removal from the game. But with Ayana, like, knowing to go for Jody here, because Jody gets upset very easily, and obviously these two have some kind of beef with each other. So the way that Ayana, like, she, this is like the, like you said earlier, like the most like not important thing. It was a salad. It was like nothing important here, but it had such a big meaning of like the whole fight that they had there. Ayana, you know, telling her that she's privileged, obviously upset Jody a lot. And then we get to this point where she's just like, you know what? I knew what I was doing and I did it on purpose. It's like art.
It's just like, and Jody's being like, it's just, it's weird and it's creepy. It's like, you should know that this is like all in like fun. Like, it's so obvious that like Ayana knows what she's doing and is playing it up. And whether these are real feelings or whatever the case may be, like, she wants the reaction and is, like, exaggerating parts of her personality. It does not come across like Ayana is, like, legitimately unhinged and right. doesn't, like, you know, and it's just, like, absolutely furious. Like, no, it's just Ayana is playing things up. She knows what she's doing. And yet Jody is over here like, I can't believe what's happening to me. Like, okay, I'm sorry for the, like, Scooby-Doo level reaction that I'm getting from her.
Yeah, so just, you know, a great moment for Ayana, just added to her her history books, I don't know, to her resume here as we continue to just, you know, be blessed with her on our screens. It's, you know, sad when we lost a main character in Sophia, in Tina, in all of these people that generally can produce big TV moments, but nope, Ayana's still here, and, you know, we're about to be at the final, so can't ask for more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like... I don't remember the season 3 cast, but I don't feel like she's there, and I'm very upset about it.
I don't think she is, no.
All-Stars 4, I'm ready.
Yes. So it's time for the elimination. We get a quick little thing before there about Jasmine, you know, missing her family, but she wants to keep fighting, which is challenge talk for Jasmine's going home.
Yeah.
So the elimination is Jasmine and Letarian versus Nehemiah and Melinda. Oh, this is where Nehemiah and Melinda come out with, you know, a very fun walk out to the elimination arena. And I felt like TJ was going to be like, tonight on the runway, your jerseys were giving. Your walk was giving this.
For everyone to know, that is also how me and Matt arrived to the podcast. So yes. If you could just visualize that, we did walk up to our recordings.
Yes,
in that
and we
same
showed
fashion.
Up Scott and Derek this week of our entrance to Challenge Podcasting.
It is true. We had the better walk.
Yes. Sorry, Scott. So that is the setup here. We are seeing the elimination. What was it called? Clockwork?
Like Clockwork.
Like Clockwork. I just wrote Clockwork. it's like Clockwork so much. It's just Clockwork. I thought this was a lot of fun. I mean, I would not want to be inside that cage with sand pouring on top of me, where it's probably going to be like sand in cracks and crevices that you will not be able to clean out for a long time, but it was a lot of fun. I liked it.
I thought it was fine. Like, I think that it was a pretty decent elimination that made for just, like, fine TV. So I think that it was fair. It was, like, an actual, like, test of skill. If you should be able to, like, look at these and get an actual idea of, like, what works if you know how gears work. But if you don't, you're probably pretty screwed. Mm-hmm. So I thought that it was, you know, nothing special. I'm not going to, like, beg for this to show up on season 38.
Are gears hard to figure out?
I mean, like, you should be able to see, like, okay, this, if, like, these are all in this area, they're going to, like, fight against each other. So, like, it's not immediately apparent if you don't think about it, I guess.
Well, some people have Gears games on their phones, some people don't. I don't.
That is true.
But I did enjoy the concept of this one, just because it's, like, I mean, sure, was it, like, the most exciting thing to watch? Probably not. But, like, the idea to, like, sit there and be like, how would this... be, like, this is one of those that makes me, like, wonder how I would do inside of the challenge itself, to, like, have the sand pouring down and still have to, like, be able to see. And, oh my God, Jasmine was having me cracking up with the making fun of Letarian. She's like, I know he's older and he can't really hear, but I'm a mom and I know how to talk through tantrums. And I was like, oh my God, read him.
Yeah, it was good. I felt like Letarian kind of just... it seemed like he just picked one of six and was like, all right, this is the one we're doing. When that was not what the assignment was for this. So I guess Letarian does not have those same apps on his phone for sure.
Yeah, no. They were not doing great. And we get a funny Darrell confessional making fun of Letarian about how he just wants to put his hands on someone. Yeah, put your hands on the sand and get, you know, digging to see what the code is here. That's how some eliminations go. Melinda was the one who had the app on her phone. So, you know, great for them that they're going to go on to win this. I have a couple of notes from throughout here. Tech rooting for nobody. Take notes, Tori Deal.
Yep, the correct move here.
Who, you know, how is Tori going to respond to Tech, who, sure, he's been in the game of the challenge a lot longer than she has. She's done more seasons and she's been like this is her world. This is her life. So the fact that Tech comes in here one time, one season, or, you know, his second season back in a long time, and immediately knows the very obvious move when you have two friends in elimination, just shut up.
Well, but here's the thing. I can see Tori doing the same exact thing next season. Like, I don't feel like she really learns and applies things.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
I have another note here about the music that they played. Was the music that they either used to or maybe even still do play at Islanders games to like get the crowd pumped up. It was like,
yep.
Like that's the music that they'll play like on the scoreboard when it's like, it's the loudometer. See how loud we can get. Like that's the music that'll play. So it was very strange to hear it on the challenge. Do you have any notes in here? I don't want to just bounce on off all mine, but
not in terms of during the elimination, really.
Okay.
No.
And I had a note about John A. rooting for Jasmine in confessional, being like, "Oh yeah, like of course I want Jasmine to win," but the language she was using was, "If they somehow take them out, like
yeah,
like, it was no like, confidence there."
Yeah, of course I want Jasmine to win, but I just don't really see that as a possibility. So. Yeah. Yeah,
it's super unlikely. All right, so Melinda, Nehemiah win. Apparently, everybody was disappointed, obviously, except for Tech and Ayana, who were going to be happy either way because they had a friend coming back. Jasmine and Letarian, this is the end of the road. Sashay away.
Who would you say you were rooting for out of these two teams?
It's hard to root for a team when you know they're not going to win.
Yeah, I know. But like, I guess putting that aside, who would you rather have stayed here?
It's tough because I have one team. The team that went home features somebody who I really like and somebody who I really don't care for much. Yeah. Melinda, not Melinda, Nehemiah, I guess, does better for me. Well, Jasmine was on my draft team, too, which, by the way, sorry, Mel, or, you know, to you as well, that I really have not done a great job updating that. We need to go back to, like, asking somebody to help us with it because I just can't, you know, remember ever. So where was I going with that?
Are you pulling away?
I don't know. With the draft?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying I don't know. Okay. I haven't been updating it. I pulled it open to see like what we're up to. I can do that now because we're talking about it.
There we go.
I lost Jasmine and Letarian was on Mel's team. I don't think I updated last week, but Kahada was on my team. Casey was on yours. So I have four left. Janelle, Darrell, Nehemiah, Tech. You have Jody, MJ, and John A. It's a strong team. Mel has Ayana, Brad, and Melinda. So I don't really know what the points are up to, but let's just assume that I'm winning.
Well, I'm really suddenly a giant MJ fan.
You're going to say Jody.
No, not worth it.
Because, I mean, if the teams stay like this, you have MJ and John A, I have Janelle and Darrell. So, like, if either of those two teams win, then, you know,
yeah, we have
helps
to
us out. Where were we going with all that? I don't know. Jeremiah, oh, no, you asked me a question. I don't know.
Yeah, who you would have been rooting for out of the two teams.
I mean, I think ultimately I want to root for Jasmine, even if it means Letarian. I don't hate Letarian. I just, you know, don't love
just
him.
Just kind
so.
Of meh. Yeah, I get you.
I would have preferred Jasmine because I like her the most of all four people.
I don't know. I feel like Nehemiah and Melinda, like, well, it is like the entire alliance against the house. It really feels like Nehemiah against that side. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like Nehemiah and Melinda are more competitive in a final, so I'm happy for this that they say it's Melinda's first final. So yeah, I am a bigger Jasmine fan, but I also like Melinda, so I am content with how things turned out.
Very exciting for Melinda to make a final here, and unfortunate for Jasmine. She was really hoping to get there, but not this time. Mm-hmm. So is there going to be a next time? Is there going to be another Jasmine appearance? I mean, if Ulsterus keeps going, why not? But
yeah, I can see it happening. I think that she was supposed to be on season one, she said, yeah, but it didn't work out because of her husband getting like injured or something. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she's on season three, so put her on season four with Ayana. I definitely think it's possible.
I hope so, because I feel like, you know, she's got still story to tell. I do, you know, I take what she was saying about, you know, I feel like I only have heart out here rather than like the other skills that most challengers, you know, use to be successful. But like heart drives plenty of people to be compelling TV characters. And I don't need everybody to be an athlete, especially on All Stars. So I'm always going to be happy to see Jasmine. I do hope that we see her again. But otherwise, this could be the end of the Jasmine and John A story. I don't know. We'll never know. So that's that. John A had a confessional, you know, saying goodbye to Jasmine, essentially saying, you know, never thought we would do another one of these again, but love ya. See ya. Adios.
And yeah. Not the most emotional goodbye in the world. Saying goodbye to Derek week one was definitely much more of a pain.
Right. And then a Letarian, confessional saying he didn't win, but he still fucking won.
Yeah. Which like, the trope no one really loves of like, I'm a winner despite losing, but
and just cannot stop cursing.
It is just like fine. I think we are seeing Letarian again next season, which he's like replacement level for me, I guess.
Pretty crazy to me that he's back for a third time in a row, especially seeing how the season has played out. So, I mean, yeah, I still think that he can compete just fine. I mean, he's obviously a beast in the eliminations and whatnot. And, you know, if he, I hate to say it like this, but if he didn't have Jasmine with him in that daily challenge, I don't think he comes in last. So, you know, he can compete, but he's just not giving me exciting television. So we'll see how that goes for him there. Nehemiah and Melinda are in the final. So we are getting very, very close to that. And next week looks to be just as riveting here. MJ had a fun confessional in the teaser. He was like, safety pal, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious to see now that we're down to two teams in that alliance, how that shapes out. I am hoping one of them could pull off a win so we can see some more interesting gameplay, though.
Yeah, we will have to see next week when we get to episode 9.
Regardless, only one team is eligible. So at least one team from the Brad, Jody, Darrell, Janelle, and John AMJ trio is going in to elimination.
Somebody has got to go in unless they make a new rule in the game and say only the King's Palace can go into elimination, because that's been the case for the past like 3 weeks. I don't know. Maybe.
Here we go.
That's all that I have in my notes.
Me as well.
All right, fine. then we're done. We have no more here for the Challenge All-Stars 2. It just feels like it's like half of a podcast after 7 weeks straight of doing hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes plus. Did we tease that we were going to have a guest this week? We might have, but
we don't think have we a talked about the possibility.
Maybe a guest next week.
Maybe.
You know who you are out there if you're joining us. So we'll see. Hopefully fingers we do have crossed. That guest. Yep. Either this week, this coming week or the next at some point, or just sometime in the future, we will see when we can figure all that out. And in the meantime, what's going on in the world of Brian Scally?
Anything that I'm doing will be over on Twitter at Brian_Scally. I don't think anything would be dropping this week. Yeah, not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Me either. That's not true.
No, I was going to say. Much more on your end, huh?
Yes. I have a very fun project coming out with a friend of the pod and friend of us, Matt Gagan, and I are working on a High School Musical rewatch. What a fun time we've been having doing this. It was something that I've kind of had in my idea list since starting the choir room. I was like, well, it's in the same world as Glee. So I was like, I want to do it at some point. And I know that Matt is a big fan of the movies as well. So we had talked about doing this and just pulled the trigger here in a week where at least I do not have much going on. So we're just kind of knocking them out choir room style of recording. And then the first three episodes of our High School Musical rewatch will be out. I don't know when you guys are listening to this, but dropping on January 1st, right at midnight. So it'll take you into the new year with some High School Musical 1 throwback, and then followed by 2 the next week, 3 the week after, and then one more bonus podcast at the end to kind of wrap it all up.
Ooh, no, I'm very excited. Big High School Musical fan. It's still underrated, you know. Could get more appreciated. I mean, you know, I feel like it has its haters, and they're wrong. So while I still have to do the musical, the series, I love the original, so I'm very excited to dive in there.
Yeah, it's been very fun. The way that, in case anybody wants to, like, the inside before this all dropping, is just that we decided we were going to break it down into 3 parts, which I think has been super fun, because, like, if you were generally recapping a movie, you're probably like getting like the quick hits, you know, hitting all like the main topics and stuff as you go. But we're like going, you know, I keep calling it an episode as we go, because I'm like watching it like it's a TV show, breaking it down into like 40-minute segments, because that's how the math works when you divide the movie by 3. So we're like going in scene by scene and just dissecting like the insanity that is actually playing out within these stories that we, you know, love so much and continue to love, but are just having fun with, you know, making fun of, I guess, a little bit, and just, it's great. So
I'm excited. I can't wait personally for the Sharpay Evans character study that I know
no,
is coming.
No, no, no.
Yes,
no,
yes,
no,
yes.
No, 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 no.
Yes, yes. I'm ready.
I have time this week, but we're not that much time.
Just
check that
one.
Out if anyone is check that out if anyone is interested in High School Musical, or just you know, who isn't, but where you just want to hear Maddie and I doing some fun podcasting together over on the Choir Room. So there's my extended plug, since I haven't really had one in a long time, for you. On Twitter at Brian_Scally, on Twitter at Matt Ligori. Anything else?
I believe that is it.
All right. Well, then, for the final time here in 2021, thank you guys for being on this journey with us all year long of the challenge season that probably started in January or whatever. You know, I don't know what the timeline is. It might have been August, but we'll call it January. All the way here to the end of the year. Hope you will be with us next year as well. So thank you guys for being with us all the way through, and we will see you next time. Take care.